Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family. We chose this one. This is episode 289, Babylon AD from 2008. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too. And this episode is brought to you by IoT Connect. Their Avnet smart diesel generator monitoring solution takes remote control of your genset to obtain daily operational insights. It is an AI-based smart diesel generator monitoring system. It's the solution that you've been looking for. Shout out to IoT Connect.
Well, shout out to IoT Connect and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. We had a bonus episode come out. We did our Young Rock, which I didn't know when that was going to come out, but I was like, tonight is WrestleMania. Let's get this
tonight,
out there.
Tonight.
So if it snuck past you, because it came out a couple days before our F9 with Montez, if you missed it in your feed, go check that out. We had Mr. Nate Milton on to talk about
the wrestling
Young Rock.
Man himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like the Fruity Films man, but like, the something wrestling man,
the turnbuckle terror,
the whistling wrestling man, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, whistling. No, I was very, you know, I think this show was fun. I enjoy doing the show.
I like
talking to people, but when like listening to that as I was editing it, I was just I love when Nate was on, because it was like something he clearly cared about and passionate about. So if you've not listened to the Young Rock episode, go check that out. I thought it was a really fun episode.
Give it a shot. No, I love having Nate on, and Nate, I mean, not that I really purposely planned to do any of this, but I purposely didn't plan because I wanted to hear Nate's take on some of the wrestling things in the show.
Yeah.
And it was cool to, like, you know, hear his, like, my memory, his knowledge, your, like, oh, like us explaining things to you that are like, this is, you know, this was like a really pivotal moment and mm-hmm. for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool all around. And and like you said, I like the show. I think it's really wholesome and cute. So it's fun to watch.
I will also say, I was looking and I don't know how this exactly happened other than the types of episodes that we're going to be doing, but between now and the time when the resident historian Mike Manzi joins us to talk about Fast 10 in like almost 2 months, the only episode we're going to have with a guest as it stands right now is Montez on the tune-up. So take these guest episodes as you can, because you're going to get tired of me and Joe's voice if you're not already.
Yeah.
Because it's just us for the foreseeable future other than the one episode. And I don't know, like that usually doesn't happen, but just based on the episodes that we're doing or whatever, it's you and me here on out, ride or die.
I'm ready.
Babylon AD. This was not in our original lineup for the lap, because I think that like there were a handful of Vin movies too many to cover all of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it just got to cut some of these. And like, I hadn't really heard of this one. And I'm like, I want to cover the big ones. I knew we wanted to do XXX and whatever.
Makes
and then
sense.
Like, I was like looking at things. I'm like, oh, Michelle Yeoh's in this. Everything Everywhere, obviously the biggest movie on the planet in the last year.
Yep, 100%.
We got to see what's up here. Had you ever heard of this movie before, like a week ago when I was like, hey, we're doing this next?
Not even a fucking whisper, bud.
Okay.
Nothing. Not, I've never heard of this movie. Never, but yeah. But didn't even fathom it existed, so.
I feel like I had heard of it. I don't know for sure. 2008
and see, that's
is
weird, because you would have definitely like heard. Because
right? It's not that long ago where we wouldn't have. I mean, I was in college at this time, so I only went to see like a handful of movies. Like I was definitely on the upswing in terms of watching movies for sure. But the only things I was seeing in theaters, because I was, you know, a mostly broke college kid, was like, you know, kind of Oscar films. Like I saw No Country like 3 times. I saw like There Will Be Blood. And, like, I saw like, you know, big stuff, but like kind of mainstream like genre stuff like this, if this is even mainstream, I don't exactly know how to describe it. Like,
it's kind of blockbustery.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't,
it's meant to be that, at least.
And like, I don't know what time of year. Oh no, I do know what time of year this came out. And like, I don't think that, like, this is not the kind of movie that my dad would have like, hey, like, let's take the whole family, go see Bat. Like, it would have been like Transformers or whatever, right? Like,
exactly.
That's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is, so this definitely would have slipped by. Anyway,
What time of the year did it come out? Can you tell me?
So it came out in August of 2008. It was supposed to come out in February 08, but it came out in August 08 instead. So there, okay, I will get to this. So I will just say, this releases the question you've been asking all lap long. This movie comes out between Tokyo Drift and Fast and Furious. So between 3 and 4, so Vin is back in the fold. He is officially once again going to be
but
Dominic
just the
Toretto.
Cameo, and then
yes.
This movie comes out
a year before Fast and Furious number 4. Yes, correct.
Okay.
So the weird part is that tomorrow, no, maybe not tomorrow now, because we moved this around. This week's episode of 1999 that we're recording, me and John, is a Luc Besson movie called The Messenger, The Story of Joan of Arc, which is like this 2.5 hour long, kind of like spectacular failure, maybe. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't watched it yet, but it's like very long. I have the sense it's the kind of movie that I could love. But like the reason I bring that up is this, it came out obviously a lot earlier than this. That was 1999, the whole point of that podcast. This is 2008, but it was shot by the same guy. The cinematography was by this guy, Thierry Arbogast. And okay. It's also like a lot of crossover because a lot of the people in this movie were in Luc Besson movies. So this guy, Thierry Arbogast, Luc Besson also made The Messenger, but he shot this guy who shot this movie, shot Leon the Professional, which is great. I'm sure you've seen Leon, right? Have you seen Leon?
Leon the Professional, yes.
Yes. He did Lucy, the Scarlett Johansson movie. He did The Fifth Element. He did Valerian. He did Catwoman, which I don't think is a Luc Besson movie, but he's done a bunch of, so like, I was just like, oh, and he also did The Messenger. So I was like, that's weird that these two movies that like, I had basically not heard of before, like 2 months ago, I'm watching basically back to back shot by the same guy and like all in this kind of like French world or whatever. This movie, Babylon AD, though, was directed by this guy, Matthew Kasavitz, who I think is predominantly an actor. He was the love interest in Amelie, that French movie that a lot of people love, that I love, that I haven't seen in a while. But he's the love interest in that. Like, he's the main male actor in that across from Audrey Tautou. He's also in a bunch of Luc Besson movies in smaller, medium parts. Like, he's an actor. He also became a director. He made this movie called La Haine, L-A space H-A-I-N-E. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation of that. But that has, like, a 4.4 on Letterboxd. Like, that has a ridiculously high score. Like, people love that movie. He also made this movie, which we'll get to. He also made Gothica, which I think is like a Halle Berry movie, maybe, that's like famously bad. Like, it's wild. Like, this guy has just like this really diverse history or whatever. He's also French, and like, I think it just, this kind of feels sort of Luc Besson-y in ways and whatever, and it's just like, it feels in that sort of wheelhouse. But the story of this movie is that this guy fought apparently every step of the way with 20th Century Fox, and this was not at all the movie that he wanted to make. And so I think it's very interesting. Like, I wanted to see a movie. The only reason I picked it, because I had never heard, I knew nothing about other than Michelle Yeoh, is I'm like, maybe it's Vin doing something else, right? Because I knew it was kind of probably sci-fi, and like, we know by this point Vin is probably going to be Vin, but maybe it's different. I don't know. Maybe it's something different. And then I start
spoiler
reading.
Spoiler alert.
It's a little different. It's not very different. It's a little different, but it's mostly Vin.
It's mostly Vin. This could have easily been like pitch black in the light.
Mm-hmm. Pitch light. Like, mm-hmm.
Pitch light is. I was trying to come up with a fun like. I was like, you know, like strike light or, you know, I don't know, other iteration of that, but yeah.
So there is a book called Babylon Babies that the guy who directed this movie was developing the adaptation, because the guy who directed this also wrote it. And he was working on this movie for 5 years, right? Like, this is a thing that he cares about a lot, Babylon Babies. When this movie eventually comes out, the director calls it, quote, a bad episode of 24. So, like, when you're talking that shit about your own movie, you know things broke bad in a way.
Yeah.
So this guy says that 20th Century Fox... Okay, so actually, really quick. So if you don't know what Babylon AD is, it's on Tubi. My library has it. You can rent it everywhere for a couple bucks. There are two versions of this movie. There is a 90-minute theatrical version, and then there's one I said it's a little bit harder to find, but I had you find... I think you watched the unrated cut, right? Like the uncut, unraw, whatever.
I watched the raw, unrated cut that was an hour and 40.
Yes. So that supposedly is closer. Who knows? We'll get back to that in a second. But if you don't know what Babylon AD is about, veteran-turned-mercenary Toorop, T-O-O-R-O-P.
Which sounds a lot like they're saying the beginning of Toretto in the movie and then stopping.
I also just heard Turok, like the video game, like the dinosaur video game from N64.
I had typed down Toro as in T-U-R-O and was like, is that what they're calling him? But
Toorop.
Okay.
T-O-O-R-O-P. Veteran-turned-mercenary Toorop takes the high-risk job of escorting a woman from Russia to America. Little does he know that she is host to an organism that a cult wants to harvest in order to produce a genetically modified messiah. That's the description on IMDb. I feel like that's a major spoiler. I feel
big
like that's
spoiler.
Like,
that's big, like that's the whole
revealing
term.
Like
yes.
the third act. Twist of this, but yes, we'll get back to that for a second.
Glad I didn't read that.
No, I didn't read that before. I copied and pasted without even reading it. I just went in there. I did. I I picked up on what this movie was doing very early, and I think it might have been because I saw the word Babylon Bay. We'll talk about it anyway. All throughout production, this guy, Matthew Kasovitz, is trying to make this movie, and 20th Century Fox is interfering, according to him. Who knows what they say? It had to get bailed out because it went long, it went over budget, they, like, didn't have snow, they had, like, all these weather issues, like, they tried to, like, they had to reshoot things and shoot things in different locations and move the production or whatever, so they had to find more money, they were going long, whatever. He says that he never, not a single scene that he shot was the way he wanted to shoot it. Everything was changed. I don't know. I think this guy either he had a genuinely miserable time, or he's an insufferable French artist who, like, the system was just like, no, man, just make a fucking movie. I don't know what, because, like, all of the...
But he's made movies that people love, so this, I can't really blame, just in, without any context, like, if he's made movies that people are, like, 4.5 on Letterboxd, mm-hmm. and then he has, like, and he comes out and's like, this movie is shit, there's some disconnect there, right?
Yeah, it's, I have absolutely no idea, but, like, this guy, I think mostly an actor, but, like, Gothica, Halle Berry has, like, a 2.6 on Letterboxd. Like, it's not very popular. I haven't seen it, so I don't want to, like, really kind of cast aspersions against it, but I don't think it's a very good movie. But, like, that's the second most popular. I don't know. Like, it seems like this guy made one amazing movie and then not again. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know the backstory of that. Reports say Fox, like the studio, cut 70 or more minutes out of this movie. The director's like, no, it's closer to 15. So I'm guessing if he's right, it's closer to the version we saw. I don't know. But there's like a 90-ish minute one. There's like a 100-ish minute one that we saw that is out there. You can buy it. You can rent it, whatever. The version we watched, I guess, is known as the European version, even though it's the uncut one, whatever. And that's known to be the best version he was able to make. I kind of wish... I mean, I don't want to watch the shorter version, but I kind of wish that I watched the shorter version, too, just to see, like, if it's really kind of a chaotic mess, because, like, the movie makes sense as it is. It just isn't...
Did it, though? Because I was paying attention, and there's, like... Now that you explain this to me, I was going to come in and be like, what the fuck is this movie about? And did I miss, like, large chunks of it?
It does jump to... Like, there's, like, a new character you're like, and he's like, oh, good to see you again. It's just like, wait, have we seen him... before?
Like that, and then he's like, we have to get through customs, and then they're just like at a hotel.
The funniest thing in this movie to me is, like, so they start in Europe, right? In this new country called New Serbia, right?
Yes, New Serbia.
And
yep.
They're like, you know, when he gets hired to do this job and bring this girl to America, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It's gonna be a road movie. And then we cut to the sky and there's a regular ass airplane flying across the sky. I'm like, oh, so we just, like, just airplanes. Okay. Like, it just felt like this was going to be, like, this, like, dirty, like, you have to get on a boat and, like, cross the Atlantic or whatever. It's like, no, you're going to be on, like, on a continental, like, a cross-Atlantic flight, just, like, I'm like, what is this reality? Like, I don't understand.
It's because it's somehow, like, post-apocalyptic,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, technologically advanced.
Which they don't explain why or what. Like, what happened to the world, really. Like, they kind of hint at it, and they're like, you get it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we're gonna go to New York, and, like, the hotel room's, like, completely automated and shit, mm-hmm. but at the same time, then it'll be, like, people are just, like, stabbing each other in the streets, and it's, yep. like, guerrilla, like, warfare.
They walk through, like, literal fight clubs, right? It's just like, oh. So, like, it's like the haves and have-nots, and I don't know. We'll get to that in a second. So, okay,
yeah.
So, apparently, the director and the studio fought so hard that the studio was just like, fuck it, we're not going to promote it. So, like,
that makes sense.
They're just like, we're not going to do it. They didn't screen it for US critics. They just put it out there. So in spite of all that, the budget was like 60 to 70 million. It still made 72 million. So, like, it probably lost money with if they promoted it at all, but, like, it wasn't like a huge bomb. It just, like, didn't do well, which is kind of wild. But anyway, Vane was cast by Fox, and Kasovitz wanted nothing to do with him.
Interesting.
He calls Vane, quote, a completely idiot actor, which I think is very funny and also very mean.
That's very mean. Oh, God. Now I really want to know the, like, I want to see Vin's Instagram stories from being on set shooting this movie. Like,
well, can't you see, like, a stuffy French filmmaker being like, oh, this guy Vin Diesel, like, smoking a cigarette, be like, oh, this
trash,
this idiot actor. Ugh.
Yeah, this, oh, man, this is what's wrong with film, you know? Just, like, it's like this guy. I can 100% see that. Like, because he kind of, like, if you're trying to make, like, film... Vin Diesel's kind of the biggest, like, proponent of, like, the problem on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Like, all he wants to do is make, like, he's a huge, muscly American and wants to make action movies and franchises.
But he also loves the movies, right? Like, he loves the craft.
He does.
He's just not
yes.
the guy. Yeah. His head is in one place and his talents lie somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah.
So Vin makes this movie and he goes to make Fast and Furious, right? And then, like, 6 months later, he comes back and he's like, all right, I'm done with Fast and Furious. Like, what's the status of this movie? And, like, he sees the movie. He's just like, what the fuck happened? He's like, am I even in this movie anymore? He's like, he could not believe, according to Wiki, according to reports, how much this movie got cut, how much this movie got changed. He's like, I don't even know if I'm in the movie anymore. He's like, it was the 6 months between, like, finishing this movie and then seeing, like, the version, I guess, that came out. He's like, this is not the movie we made. I had no idea what we were doing.
Okay, so even Vin is like, something fucked. Yeah. Like, something happened. Okay, cool. So we're getting kind of, we're piecing together the backstory. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, like, it makes $70 million at the box office. The budget is like $70 million. So, like, it's not a huge flop there. Rotten Tomatoes has a 7% by critics, 26% by audience. The consensus calls it a poorly constructed derivative sci-fi stinker with a weak script and poor action sequences. It's got a 26 on Metacritic, which is also terrible. CinemaScore audiences give it a D+. And a guy from Variety calls it a noisier, costlier version of Children of Men, yet lacking that film's social, political significance and jaw-dropping direction. Have you seen Children of Men? Do you know
yes.
the Alfonso Cuarón? Yeah, it's like, it's that, it's this
You're
movie,
right.
but
it's
like,
100. Now that, as soon good. As I was waiting, yeah. I was waiting as soon as you were going to finish, and I was about to say, like, yes, now that you say Children of Men, I get it. That's very much so what this feels like this was going for, just mm-hmm. not the right way.
Right. And apparently, I have not seen this movie. I don't know if this is out there visible or not, but the director apparently made and released a documentary called Fucking Kasavitz, which is his last name, covering the production of this movie.
Interesting. We should actually watch that.
If you Google, on YouTube, it's an hour-long documentary. It's called Fucking Kasavitz, The Making of Babylon A.D., a documentary of the making of Babylon AD from the point of view of director Matthew Kasavitz, French and English without subtitles.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
All right. I'm going to add this to the watch list and I will watch this at like 2x speed and see what's up.
Okay, cool.
I'm of the mind that it's a miracle that like any movie gets made because I feel like
agree.
There are so many egos that like
moving
just everything.
Moving parts, yes. pieces, production, everything. I get it.
But then when you have French filmmaker has a vision for this thing that he's taken 5 years to write,
Fox,
and the studio's
Fox
like,
is in charge,
hey,
and Vin
we're
Diesel
put Vin
is
Diesel
cast.
In this, and it's just like, no? Can we say no? No is French and English. It's the same thing. It's just no, right? So
yeah.
Also, the RZA did music for this. Did you see his name in the credits?
No, I missed them. But
songs by the RZA.
Oh, God. So this French guy was just getting terrorized. What did he do that Fox was like, you know what, we're going to fuck with this guy this week?
Don't know. Have no idea.
Doesn't it feel like this is like an April Fool's joke on this guy?
It does. It really does. I think what he made is not bad. I think the issue is it's kind of forgettable because it doesn't really make sense. Like, if it was worse, it would be better. If it was better, it would be better. But instead, it's just like, you kind of get that she's pregnant or that something is like that, right? And it's just like, oh, okay.
The whole time I was just like, oh, this is the Oracle, right? Like from the mm-hmm. rip, like the very yes. first time where she's like, oh, we can't go in there. And then the bomb explodes. I'm like, okay. So she has like some kind of like sixth sense Oracle bullshit.
Yeah.
They're transporting the Oracle.
Right.
And then like, okay, fine. I was like, let's do it. And then like, it really doesn't get interesting from there. Like she...
No.
She
he's,
never...
like, he's like, what's wrong with you? And then Michelle Yeoh's like, we don't talk to her. And then like they move somewhere else. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's like, well, the doctor will fix her. And they're like, okay. And then all of a sudden Vin's like, does she have a virus? And you're like, I don't think that's what was happening here. Bud.
No. Yeah, I don't know. But I watched most of this last night. I finished it this morning. But I was saying to you, the opening voiceover, the opening monologue delivered by Vin Diesel is either going to sell you on the movie or scare you off, and like it calms down after
dude, but Vin drops so many other movie lines into this fucking mm-hmm. movie. It's wild, dude.
I mean, at one point he says trust no one. I'm like, okay, so that's just the X-Files, right? Like there's just like so many things, just like he's just quoting things but not like with a wink, just like saying things like I'm super smart.
He said, like, he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Like, mm-hmm. he does, like, all of these fucking, like movie things. It, yeah, all of it. It's very strange.
I'm going to put the opening voiceover in here because it is... This is the first thing you hear.
Save the planet. Whenever I've read that bumper sticker, I've had to laugh. Save the planet. What for? And from what? Ourselves? What about God? Can he help us? I don't think so. God gave us what we have to see how we'll use it. Shit, rats in a cage would have done it better. Life's a bitch and then you die. Bumper sticker philosophy. Yeah, right. Sometimes.
So I hear that and I'm just like, what? What is this movie? Like, is he... Like, I guess it sets him up as, like, this anti-hero, right? But I'm just like, I don't know...
It's another fucking Vin Diesel vehicle where he's, like, a mercenary, he's a badass thing, and it's set in a sci-fi world.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can totally see why he would want to do this. Because this is the kind of movie where, like, an army, a literal army of mercenaries, bursts into his apartment. And they're like, you're coming with us. He's like, if you wanted me dead, you would have blown up the building. And then he takes one of the guy's guns and shoots that guy in the chin and then walks out of the room. And I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, I know exactly why Vin Diesel would want to do this movie. Like, that's Vin to a T, and that's super cool, and he delivers it. But I'm just like...
And all you had to do is tell him, like, look, there's a girl who might have a virus, and she's secret pregnant. It's AI virus. And he's like, oh, I'm fucking in. And they're like, and you can have scars, and you were an ex-Marine. Now you're a mercenary, and you have to transport her from Russia to New York. And he's like, completely. There's cars. It's just everything mashed together again.
You also have hair and a beard. It's like, cool, that's new. I'm like, all right, yeah, sure.
The head scars really felt like he was like, oh, cool. Like, I always want to put, like, scars on for, like, my D&D character. So, like, that works. Like, it is, like, nobody explains why he has head scars. He just has them. It's like, okay.
It's just like, yeah, he's seen some shit. It's like, okay. But, like, this movie is, like, we talk a lot. And the idea, and it's always better to show, not tell. But sometimes you have to tell some things. And this movie's just like... Look at this world. Look at this guy. Look at this thing he's been through. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. And it's like, what does any of it mean? And the movie's like, look at this other stuff. And it's like, hold on.
Yes, 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 yes. You're right. This movie definitely suffers from a case of, like, there's a lot of showing and no telling.
And, like, I do, like, I think this is the kind of movie that I could have really, really loved. And I think it's worth seeing because I think it, like, has cool stuff. But at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know what any of it means. And it's also the kind of movie where, like, when he finally meets up with Michelle Yeoh and she's like, I've got three rules. Wherever the girl goes, I go too. The less interaction she has with the outside world, the better. And no foul language. And Vin just goes back to her. I got one rule. Don't fuck with me. It's just like, come on, dude. Like, I get what you're doing, but, like, it's just like an action movie kind of cliche. And, like, it's funny to an extent, but I'm also like, more, maybe, please?
It was weird, though. Like, I noticed this, too, that Vin gives, like, a fuck at the beginning. So I was like, oh, this is a sweary movie, right? Because, like, we don't see too many Vin fucks, right? Mm-hmm, like, in this whole thing. We get to that part that's, like, no cursing, and then after that, he pretty much does stop.
He does. Although the last line of the movie is, save the planet one child at a time. Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah.
Save the planet one child at a time. Ain't that a bitch?
There's a lot of, like, very...
And then the movie ends, and then it just says, to my daughters, and it's like, oh, boy, okay. But, yeah. So what did you think, other than being confused, did you like parts of this movie? Did you not like it? Did you feel it was different at all from what we were? Because, like, a lot of the movies that we've done, like, Find Me Guilty was pretty radically, and not radically different, but different enough that it was like, oh, this is something different. But, like, was this different enough to warrant seeing, or if people have been sort of following along, do you think that they don't need to see this movie?
No, I think you could totally just watch Pitch Black and be like, oh, just imagine, like, if Pitch Black and Children of Men... were combined, but not good. Like, not that I don't think that this movie isn't bad enough to be bad. It just like it's just a mess, and yeah. I don't know where it went wrong. Like, I can't even begin to describe where I think it went wrong. Like, we've been talking through it. Like, it's a lot of the show not telling thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the movie feels like the storyline is confused. It definitely feels like there's large chunks of it that are just missing, and maybe that would help explain some stuff. But I can't put my finger on one thing where it's wrong, but also it's not bad enough to be like, oh, this is like silly, goofy fun, because it's like, it's so bad. It's just like...
It's the kind of thing where like the people who are making it on every step, the guys who are directing it and writing it and
filming it,
filming it, but like they all know what they're doing. It's just that none of it's gelling. And again, I think it's kind of the miracle of movies where you're like, oh my God, that was a good movie. Like, I can't believe that actually like happened. And here, it's just like, how did none of it come together? It's strange.
I just don't get it. It feels bizarre. It really does.
What I did love seeing, and I thought there would be more to it, is that when Vin gets hired to do this job, right?
Yes.
The way that they pick him up is they have this gigantic magnet drop down a car. And I'm like, that's a cool entry or cool like sick. Arrival.
Sick.
And then he gets in the car.
In the back seat, by the way, mind you, which was very strange to me. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Vin get in the back seat of a car. So
no. And then the magnet just pulls the car away. I'm like, you're not going to let him drive? Like, what?
Yeah, I was very thrown off by this, too. Like, car drops down. Mm-hmm. It's like an old I don't even know what it was. Like an old Lincoln or something.
It kind of looks like a Mad Max. Like, it's all, like, reinforced and fortified and, like, just, like, this badass kind of
cages on the windows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like an old Lincoln or, like, a... like an old Cadillac or something, and then yeah, it just like magnets him. He gets in the back seat, lights. He smokes this whole movie, which also felt very weird, right? Mm-hmm, did it feel weird to you too? Because there's no smoking in Fast and the Furious,
correct?
And so Vin just like chain smoking in this movie essentially feels very, very bizarre to see. Like, I think he definitely like smoked in like Boiler Room or something. It's not like, and we, you know, you have that picture of him, the classic picture of him like on the balcony smoking. So like, he probably does smoke in real life, but like, just seeing him chain smoke here, I'm like, that just feels out of character. Like, that was the most different thing for this Vin character.
Well, I think that's how you know he's a bad boy. That he smokes, right? It's like he says the F word and he smokes cigarettes. It's like, ooh.
So he's like the 12-year-old definition of bad boy?
Yeah.
Okay, that works.
I think so. He gets to this monastery where Michelle Yeoh is, and she's like been tasked to take care of this girl, Aurora. And then he pulls out this map, and it's like a paper map that you could buy like since like the 1960s or whatever. Who knows? And
okay,
then,
yeah. This is sick. This was actually the coolest part of the movie. I lost my mind at this. I thought this was so
map,
sick.
So it's like a regular paper map that unfolds that you can get for like $1.95 at like any gas station. But it's also like a screen, like it's a digital map, and like it just like it tracks, and it's like a GPS, but like on a paper map. And I'm like...
And he can iPhone expand, contract the map. And I was like, this is fucking sick, and we absolutely do need that.
Yeah. They don't do anything like that, really, until they get to the fancy house at the end. It's just like, there's all this cool technology in the world, and we're not going to show you any of it. It's like, oh, okay.
Or just selective pieces. That, like, it doesn't... Yeah, it feels disjointed in that sense, too. This is what I was trying to describe with the, like... It's post-apocalyptic. Like, some places you're in, it's like, oh, these people are like... Like, Vin goes out and kills a rabbit, skins it, and, like, makes rabbit... And you're like, okay, wow, okay, this is like a, you know, it's tough here. And then you like see a map that you can like expand yourself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and then he goes out and kills another rabbit later in the movie.
He does. It's like, how did you learn how to cook rabbit? It's like, I was a mercenary. It's rule number one of mercenary school. And you're like, what are you talking about, dude?
So Michelle Yeoh basically has nothing to do here. There are fight scenes where doesn't do anything. Like, she does no like high wire acts. Like, she does no like, you know, nothing Crouching Tiger, nothing Everything Everywhere, nothing cool. She gets shot point blank in the chest in the end and dies. It's like, all right, so like, you have this really cool badass action lady here.
They actively cage her in this movie.
It's a bummer, like. Right?
Yeah, it's like, I was really, and she's doing good.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, like, doing bad. She's not, like, she seems like she's into it, and she wants to do it. Like, she seems enthusiastic about doing it, too. Like, you could just, like, read it on her face. Because what was it, like, what did she just come out and tell, like, somebody to go fuck themselves about a movie or something?
Oh, maybe. Probably.
She did. She just came out, and somebody was like, oh, like, this is why I didn't put you in my movie. And she was like, well, I didn't want to be in your stupid fucking movie. Like, look how it did, or whatever. or oh, somebody else wanted to do Everything Everywhere All at Once or something, was like, I would have never put you, I don't know, something with Michelle Yeoh. Any, either way, in this movie, she seems like she's enthusiastic about doing it, exuding from her in the character, right?
Especially considering most of this movie is just the three of them kind of walking through like a desolate world, right? And like,
yeah,
they all have to be good, otherwise this entire thing is terrible. And they all are pretty good. They play well together. And then for the movie to be like, okay, like we cast you because you like have been in one of the most inventive, best action movies of the last ever. And this is kind of an action movie and we're going to like kind of give you nothing to do. It's like, why? What?
It's a big fumble of the bat. Now, this is another thing. Like, do you think that the French director was like, oh, like, my vision for this is, like, this woman. And Fox was like, Michelle Yeoh, she's gonna fucking be a badass. And he's like, that's not what this movie... Like, don't give me Vin Diesel. I don't want Michelle Yeoh for this. Like, that's not what we're doing.
I don't know. I feel like she would be more in line with, like, a French... Like, a stereotypical French filmmaker than a Vin Diesel type, but...
Oh, I mean, for sure.
I don't know. Because then the other girl, Aurora, is a French actress. It's this girl, Melanie Thierry, T-H-I-E-R-R-Y. She was in that movie, Defy Bloods, that came out a couple years ago. That was great. She was also in this movie that I will give a recommendation to that I feel like if anyone listening to this podcast has even heard of this movie, it would be Jason Rainey. There was a movie I saw at Fantastic Fest like 5 or 6 years ago called See You Up There. S-E-E-Y-O-U-U-P-Vare. It's a French movie. And I don't remember much about it, but I've been worried to see it again because when I watched this movie at Fantastic Fest, I was like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. And it's like this French movie, it's like a World War I movie, and it's beautiful, and she's in that movie. She's like one of the stars of that movie. And I'm like, this movie is incredible. And I've been worried because I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be as good if I see it again. But like, I would highly recommend, if you don't know anything about it, just go into it. I'm sure you can probably find it out there. I don't know, but she's in that too. So I was like, oh, but she's just like she as this French actress feels like the embodiment of what this guy wants. It's like, yeah, like the angst of like this young French woman, like in a desolate wasteland.
Yep.
You know, a woman against the world. And they're like, and Vin Diesel. He's like, ugh, I'd rather not. But like, I guess. They don't tell Vin why he's transporting her, just that he has a transporter.
And he's fine with that because he's a mercenary. He's down on his luck mercenary that needs to get back into America for God only knows what reason. But he's a terrorist in America, so he's outcasted. But if he injects this serum, then he has a new passport.
Right. And immediately, exactly. I'm just like, is she pregnant? And
well, how did you know she was pregnant? I didn't get the pregnant part.
Well, because I think, well, I had read the title Babylon Babies, but I was also just like, okay, so in my head, and this is very simplifying things, but if you're like, this young woman has incredible value, it's like, because the movie does not, like, Children of Men is just like, no one can have babies anymore. And yeah, they're like, but this girl can. And like, that movie doesn't keep it as a reveal. This movie's reveal is, We're creating the second Messiah. It's like, wait, what? Hold on, no. But
no, but she's movie... like, she's like a robot vessel, though. Remember, like, yes, they like they cyborged her with AI virus.
Well, they created an artificial mom. I don't know. I had to rewind. I rewound that like explanation 2 or 3 times. I'm like, I still don't really understand what they did.
Thank
with this girl.
You. Okay, so, yes, good. I appreciate you saying that because like I was like, am I missing something? Like, maybe I fucked this up and I was like, you know what? I'll just wait. Joey will know.
No, because like, at
maybe
the end,
I just
like,
missed
what,
something.
What I got to is that the scientist at the end, who is the guy who plays the Merovingian in The Matrix 2 and 3, and I think also, yeah, in 4, he's in the 4 also. He just, like, the gist I got is like, I don't know what he did, but he fell in love with this girl as a father. He's just like, I don't want to see anything happen to this girl.
I created and like, her, now she's my daughter.
That's yes. all I need to know. Like, I don't understand. Like, I could not tell you what the process was, if this girl is full cyborg, half cyborg, if her mom ever existed, if there's just like an idea of her mom. I have no idea. All I know is this guy created this life and then was just like, oh my God, I love her as a father. I don't want anything to happen to her. And I'm like, that's enough for me. Like, that's, I get that. Like, that's all that I stuck with. And I'm just like, as long as I picked up on that, and I feel like that's all that really matters. But if you're like, hey, I'll give you $10,000 if you explain what this was, I
no.
don't even know where to begin.
Same. Yeah.
So no, I can't help you there. But in that regard, and also like in lines throughout, this is another movie where Vin is all about family.
It is. He says, I have like family lines written down. like, what is it? Oh, we protected each other like a, like Michelle Yeoh mm-hmm. literally said. But I mean, there's all, it's like, not only is there like Fast and the Furious kind of like lines in here, there's just like the other movie lines kept throwing me off too. Like, you're yeah. in like a serious scene and then Vin drops in like he's very aware that like the Godfather exists mm-hmm, mm-hmm, in this universe. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the, like, how far in the future are we? Because it can't be that far if it's like the God, I mean, it's the Godfather, but like the Godfather is like still like in your mind that you just like rattled this off. And like, did right. you watch it on your space map or like, how did you see this? Because there doesn't seem to be, oh, besides like one giant TV that only plays, one of the screens was like midget fights or something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck did they, like, I get, this is, hey man, Lance Barnaby from school. I get it.
Right.
But, like, that was like, is that what you guys really went with? Like,
I don't know what year this takes place in. All I know is that at one point Aurora says, I thought they went extinct in 2017. I'm like,
tigers, yes.
I'm There's like, okay, tigers. So this movie's in 2008. 2017, tigers went extinct. They created artificial tigers.
And then they made artificial tigers of the artificial tigers is how Vinny, which,
yeah, like okay. second generation artificial tigers.
And while like, Michelle Yeoh's holding a child that we've never seen before, all of a sudden there's, they just added another fucking kid out of nowhere.
Like on that train or whatever, yes! right? I'm just like, yeah, where? Okay.
Sure. Michelle Yeoh's holding a kid and then like he's talking to Aurora across from him. I'm like, mm-hmm. is she holding Aurora? And then she's just like holding some stranger's kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like, what the fuck? Did I just totally, like, did I look down?
No.
And just, like, black out nope. for, like, 6 minutes and then come back up? No.
Unless we blacked out the same part, but I'm just like, oh, and, like, that wasn't, that's not super far into the movie, but that's far enough I'm just like, all right, I guess that's what's happening now.
Same. Just, like, has I, like, a kid. Look, yeah, and then the kid's gone. It's not like the kid, like, joins them. It's just, like, on that train, Michelle Yeoh was just, like, canoodling somebody else's child.
Yeah. We kind of transport to Triple X for a second because
we do.
All
we
of
do.
A sudden, they're on snowmobiles and they're like racing away from people shooting missiles at them. And Vin does a backflip on a snowmobile and then does another backflip on a snowmobile and jumps off it and lets a missile hit the snowmobile to block the missile. And I'm just like, is this the kind of movie that we're like having a. an action sequence like this? Like, I guess.
It
like,
doesn't. It, you're right. It feels. If it. That. This doesn't feel like a movie that should have action sequences.
Like, I like not the like whole, this. Like, I think what works in this movie in that kind of regard is when, like, Vin pulls a gun on a bunch of guys in the street and they all, like, surround Aurora and they're all basically like, we're ready to die. Like, we're going to protect her. And, like, that's not action, but it's, like, action adjacent enough where I'm just like, okay, I get this. There's a snowmobile chase where there's missiles being fired, or like at the end when like he has to run, jumps through like a van and then closes the doors on
well,
a missile.
Well, that's, I'm just because, like, that's because his truth serum passport uh-huh. that he injects into himself also has a tracking chip. Spoilers! Like, we didn't see that fucking coming.
Mm-hmm.
It has a tracking chip in it, and they have missiles that follow the tracking chip in Vin's brain. So they just shoot a missile willy-nilly, and uh-huh. it just, like, seeks him out. So,
and Aurora's like, how can you stop it? And Vin goes, only by death. And I'm like, okay, so he's going to die, because we've already seen her, like, kind of fix him up. So I'm like, okay, so he dies, and she brings him somewhere and, like, comes back to life and just like, yep.
Yeah, that's exactly how it played out. So, like, then they're shooting this is, like, the third or fourth one they're shooting at Vin Diesel, because they just have unlimited programmed missiles uh-huh. that seek only Vin Diesel's.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. so like by about the third time, we get a little bullet time in this one. It goes in slow motion right past Michelle Yeoh. She seems very nonplussed by it, but whatever. And Aurora pulls out a gun and they have this like really like serious moment where she like shoots him. And they're shooting it like they're selling it like she actually has to kill him.
Yeah.
But you know off the rip that's not what's happening.
No, it's just like, so he has one, like the only thing that anybody has to do in this movie is he has to get her to someplace.
Yes.
And then they're not there yet, and he can't, because if he dies, no one has any goals in this movie. So we're like, okay, so he can't die. So yeah, she shoots him, so she can, like, so the missiles stop, because they will stop when he dies.
Yes.
And then the next scene, we see him getting wheeled along on a gurney, and he's got, like, he's missing part of his body because, like, he was dead too long or something. And they're like, too bad we can't make him pretty. And it's just like, okay.
Oh, yeah. And then they cyborg him, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's got, like, a metal leg and a metal arm and whatever.
Like,
yeah.
finger gloves, yes, that are, like, cyborgy. And, yeah. And then once he had the one eye spectacle shits, I was like, come on. There's a lot of pitch black in this.
I did think what was really funny was that there had to be the scene. I think this is just for the four quadrant movie. I don't know, but like the Vin animal magnetism, where like somehow,
yes,
Michelle Yeoh goes away and it just
for like
came
3 minutes,
and then like they somehow are both in the bathroom and like she's about
he's
to like
showering.
Yeah,
he had just showered, so he's in a towel, shirtless. Mm-hmm. Looking hot with his United States Marine Corps tattoo on his arm.
Did you see that terrible, terrible tattoo where you could see like the light skin around it? Because I was noticing the terrible tattoos because you had pointed out, I think, earlier in the lap with some other movie or something. But I'm just like, oh, that is clearly like a decal, a ply-on tattoo.
Yes, the mm-hmm. United States Marine Corps one. They look like they're like drawn with like Bic, yep, pen,
yes,
a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have tattoos, but like, you know, like if you see a tattoo, that it's like...
Right.
Especially if it was like a Marine Corps one, we're in a post-apocalyptic world now. Like, that thing's going to be blue, right? Like, it's, yeah, going to be like an old, like, army tattoo type situation.
But nope.
No, but it's just nicely, like, faint black.
Yeah.
Just freshly done.
He gets out of the shower, shirtless, wet, and she comes up to him and it's like, oh, they're going to go at it. And then Michelle Yeoh walks in the front door and they're all just like, all right, now what? Like, no one addresses it. They don't kiss.
No.
Nothing happens. The entire movie...
Even like, Michelle Yeoh kind of just, like, brushes it under the rug. She's like, the bus leaves in, like, 30 minutes. And they're like, okay, we'll just get ready then. And it's, like, clearly, like, he's in a towel. They were about to kiss.
Because there has been no sexual tension the entire movie. Like, it's been...
Well,
if anything,
also,
it's been,
like
father-daughter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
this,
like,
this
I get
is...
that it's the Vin animal magnetism that is, you know, impossible to stop. But it's also, like, that's not the vibe you've been setting up.
No, not at all. I was very, very turned off by this. Like, any of the Vin movies where he's, like, dealing with a fucking child, right? Where it's, mm-hmm, like, oh, like, even when we had, what was, like, the daddy daycare whatever, right? And she's like, ooh, like...
The pacifier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The pacifier, and she says, like, something creepy to him, and he's like, look, like, you know, no.
Right.
Like, I'm an adult, you're a child. Like, that's not how this works. Like, that's how that should have went. Not, like... Because how old do you think this girl is?
16, maybe?
16, maybe, right? Like, that's what I felt, too. Like, I was thinking, like, 15, 16, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, so that just makes it weird. Vin's not nearly close enough to her age to this, like, for this to not just be, like, really weird.
Right. Super, super strange. Anyway, Michelle Yeoh gets killed.
Yeah.
Vin gets killed by Aurora. They bring him back to life, and they're like...
They did explain her name. She was named after... And Aurora, as you can guess.
Uh-huh. That's some Twilight shit. Just like, oh, yeah, it's like an Aurora. Yeah, okay. But
yes.
Then the guy is like, okay, because she kills him and then no one knows where she went, which seems,
yeah,
impossible.
Yeah, I mean, Vin has a tracking chip in him, but like this girl, also they seem to have God's eye at some point too, so like.
This movie,
sure,
makes this out to be that this girl is the most important person on the entire planet. And you're telling me that
literally
no one knows where she is?
Not one. And she was in a crowd,
mm-hmm,
and got exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Which they also just are like, well, she has superpowers. So like, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Bomb blows up in her face. It just like, you know, she just matrixes through it. And then she just walks,
uh-huh,
away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But the guy who brings Vin back to life is like, well, you know what happened when she killed you. Your brain kind of died. I don't remember how he describes it. Oh, I wish I knew, because it was just like...
Well, because she knows everything. She knows everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah, it's like your brain still took things in, even though you weren't aware of it. But you have a lot more information in your brain than you think you do. So they connect like a VCR basically to his eye, and they rewind his memories.
They do. Joey nailed it. Yeah,
this is technology that we have in this world. Okay, and then. He realizes the truth, and this is where I don't really understand what happened, but there's this, like, cult that's led by Charlotte Rampling, like, this older British actress who's always in, like, very serious stuff, and she's just, like, overacting the hell out of things here. They have, like, all this power, and they tried to create another Virgin Mary.
Well, there's a religious cult, and then there's like mercenaries, and then there's also like bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out like the religious cult, I think, are also the bad people.
Probably.
It's not very clear, but like there's like some there in the Venn diagram, there's like some overlap there.
But they somehow either made or grew or created Aurora's mom and Aurora, and they put twins inside Aurora.
Yes.
So she's a virgin, like the Virgin Mary number two, with twins, and yes, she's going to save the planet, basically.
With these twins.
How? No one knows. Other than just, like, general faith, I guess.
As you said, like, as the movie is ending, she's giving birth to these twins.
Mm-hmm.
Vin's there. She has to die as the twins arrive. And then he goes, ain't that a bitch? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the end of the movie.
Yeah. So, okay. So they rewind his memories. They're like, oh, she's in the woods. Got it. And so he goes and finds her in the woods.
Yeah.
And I look at the runtime of the movie, and there's 10 minutes left, including credits. And I'm like, there's no way.
No way.
There's no way this movie even remotely wraps up in 10 minutes.
No.
And then in those 10 minutes, they jump forward 6 months. I'm like, you can't do this. You don't have enough time. And they go to the hospital, and Aurora's there. And she says to him, you're their father now.
They literally, like, yada yada'd over a part of the movie. Like, for all the stuff that they definitely cut out of this movie, that's a big yada yada. It'd be like, it's like somebody looked at their clock and was like, whoops, about lunchtime.
Like, we, you know, almost every Elvis movie that when I do with Mike, we're like, oh, like, the one that I just did where I was saying that, like, the Speed Racer is based on this is Viva Las Vegas. Like, there's 75 seconds left, because in old movies, the credits are at the start. So, like, when a movie ends, it just ends. Like, it's the end of the runtime. So there's, like, 75 seconds left in this movie.
Yeah.
Elvis is in the middle of a race, and I know it ends with a wedding. And I'm like, I don't know. There's not enough time. And they still do it, because, like, he basically crosses the finish line, smash cut to the wedding, end of movie. It's just like, okay.
Perfect.
But in new movies, there are credits. And in new sci-fi movies and sort of bigger budget movies, there's a lot of credits.
Yes.
And so I look, and there's 10 minutes left, including that. I'm like, I don't even know. Like, this feels like the start of the second act of the movie. It's like, okay, we're in America now. Vin got her there. Michelle Yeoh is dead. He's got to find her. And he's still
got
to do
the thing. He just got back to life.
Mm-hmm.
He just finds her. What is going to happen?
And what happens is,
fast forward 6 months.
We don't know. We jump forward 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're in the hospital. She's had the babies. We don't see the babies. She says, you're their father now. He calls her Aurora for the first time. She's like, oh my God, you probably used my name. She dies.
See, that's a good tell moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that we didn't need it, because like, I really wouldn't have cared if that was the first time he called her name or not. Apparently it's significant to the movie's ethos in their eyes, but sure. That was a tell moment that we could have used for many. Why are there tigers?
Don't know. Save the planet one child at a time. Ain't that a bitch? To my daughters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whose daughter? That feels like that has to be to Vin's daughters, right?
I think it's the director's daughters. I don't think Vin's dedicating this to his daughters.
Right. Okay. So that makes it even weirder.
Yeah. Well, that's like how the movie Sleepaway Camp opens, with two mom, a dreamer, and that whole movie is like, families are fucked up. It's like, why are you dedicating this movie to your mom? What are you saying here?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. Anyway, I feel like we said don't watch it, and I feel like all we did was tell people to watch it.
Yeah, you might be intrigued. I'm glad that we got to talk about this together.
Yeah.
Because you helped me unpack and process a lot of this movie.
I don't know that we did. Maybe we did.
I have no more clarity, but you helped me unpack it.
Sure. Okay, that's good. I'm glad. Oh,
you
also,
know what
Vin dropped out of that movie Hitman that Timothy Oliphant did. You know, the video game Hitman where the bald guy with a barcode on his... Apparently, Vin was going to star in Hitman. He dropped out of that movie to be in this movie.
That's a very Vin move.
I'm going to do the more artistic shit.
Yeah, he's like, this
one
got
Hitman
a French director.
For some reason. Yeah, but.
This one has a French director, Michelle Yeoh, futuristic world. I'm going to play a brand new character of mercenary.
Yeah, you Wikipedia describes him as Hugo Turop, a mercenary and former Marine, a professional smuggler from upstate New York, deported to Eastern Europe, where he does mercenary jobs as a smuggler. He's an expert in advanced weaponry, hand-to-hand combat, tactics, and culinary.
And culinary.
That's what it says. He cooks rabbits.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that they're in a gas punk style nightclub. Like, you skimmed over the fight club.
I did.
Because there's a long scene that they spend a lot of time at a gas punk nightclub that has a fight club glass ring in the air on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't seem very opportune. I was like, if this is like the because I don't think people were like really dancing in the middle, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that should be the show, right? Like, if you have a fight club to the death in your nightclub, that should definitely be the focal point.
I guess it depends on your clientele, but this is another thing where, like,
you don't put that on the side. No. That's not a sideshow. That's the main event. At a nightclub that's gas punk themed.
Aurora somehow makes her way into one of the cages, and then Vin finds his way in.
I think there's only one cage. There's only one cage. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's on the side, and it's weird. Like,
okay, that's weird, yeah.
Because it makes it feel like there should be one on each side. Maybe you get two fight clubs at the same time. And it's kind of like the Spider-Man Bonesaw type situation. That, like, you go in and you don't come out until, like, the timer's up. And it's like, they give you, like, what, 90 seconds or something? And yeah, Aurora just, like, she keeps, like, eyeballing the guy that's killing everybody in there.
And she's like, no, he's not trying to help me. He doesn't want to hurt me. He doesn't want to hurt me. And then Vin still kills him.
Snaps his neck.
But it's like, okay, like, we already knew that she, like, knew the future and knew secret intentions and stuff like that. Like, we don't need to see that again.
And Vin doesn't believe that she, like, don't you think, like, the first time, like, the bomb exploded, you'd be like, which way should we go?
Is this a bad idea? He's like, how did you know that? And then, like, he doesn't think about it again. He's like, you did something crazy there. How'd you do it? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, all right, cool. That's enough for me.
Yeah, and she drives like a Russian submarine. He's like, how did she know how to drive a Russian submarine? And Michelle Yeoh's like, she knows everything. And he's like, okay, cool. And then
I did think, speaking of Russian submarine, they're like, yes, we got to get on a boat. And I'm like, oh, okay, a boat. And then, like, the submarine comes up from under the ice. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I'm like, also, this is very Fate of the Furious. But I'm just like, this is...
Yep.
I'm like, okay. And then she's like, you're killing them all. You're killing them all. And then she starts, like, pushing a bunch of buttons and, like, just operating the submarine. She's like, okay, sure. So this girl can just do everything. Got it. Cool. Okay.
And then Vin just doesn't trust that. Like once you would, like, the bomb thing, sure. But, like, once she does the bomb thing and the submarine, you're like, Sensei, show me the way. Like, yeah. Which way do we need to go to get through this? How do we get out of this? You know the answer. So just, like, I will be the muscle here. Guide me. Tell me where we need to go, and, yep, like, I'll just kill everybody in sight until we get there, right? Cool, fine. But no, Vin's just like, nope, this is a small child until I want to have sex with her, and then then she's an adult, and, like, okay.
Until Michelle Yeoh comes back, and they're like, all right, sorry, Mom, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah. Oh, did you notice that he had something weird hanging from the rearview mirror in the car when he is driving?
I did not. Well, did you see what it was or no?
It was like some kind of chain dangly situation. Oh. I was like, okay, cool. We have something dangling from the rearview mirror. And there's a lot of God in this movie. They talk about God all the time.
For sure.
Yeah. It's just like...
He does not hang from chains, though, does he? Or does he?
No, I was going to say that. He does not have the classic Vin pose of wrists above head dangling from chains. Damn. But, Joey, I have a very big question for you that we also have not addressed.
What's that?
Why is there so much fucking Coke Zero in this movie?
Oh, probably because Coca-Cola paid them a whole goddamn lot of money to put it in this movie.
There's so many Coke Zero signs, including a plane that is sponsored by Coke Zero that they fly on.
When did Coke Zero come out?
Not the day that this movie did.
2005.
Yeah, so this isn't like the Jurassic Park, we introduced the new car in Jurassic Park situation.
This is them saying, the people who watch this movie are our target demo. We need these people to drink Coke Zero.
Like, it was introduced
in the U.S. in late January 2007, and then Super Bowl, basically, 2007. So, like, this is, like, a year into Coke Zero. So, like, this is still, like, Coke being like, hey... Not that Diet Coke shit. This is Coke Zero. So I think it's just like, hey, cool dudes with your cool friends, seeing this cool movie, drink our cool beverage.
In a post-apocalyptic world where there's a new Serbia, what did survive was Coke Zero.
It's like the cockroach of beverages.
I guess. I absolutely guess, but it makes no sense. And, like, it's plastered on this plane. Like, this isn't a subtle, you know, there's like, Reese's Pieces. You know what I mean? It's not, like, something that's in there. This is, like, it's just signs fucking everywhere that say Coke Zero.
I want to watch the trailer because I want to see if this answers any questions. I will say that the second comment on here from Umquam 14 years ago, I really like this movie. It didn't explain a lot of things, but I think that was part of the point. It left you questioning. Well, it had a lot of points, too. It really showed how good people could be and how horrible they can be and how the world would be destroyed if we don't do anything about it today.
I don't know if it told us that.
This was posted by 20th Century Fox 14 years ago, so this is June 16th, 2008, so 2 months before this movie comes out. They put this on YouTube in the earlier days of YouTube. They're like, check out this new movie. The quality of this video is terrible.
I'm ready whenever you are, brother.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. There's no way this trailer is good. If Fox is like, fuck this movie, and this movie doesn't make sense as it is, there's no way the trailer makes sense.
Yeah.
Save the planet.
There we go.
Yeah, so the trailer opens the way the movie opens, and it's like, okay, this is...
Too bad it was a dad.
This could be cool.
Oh, and they do your favorite thing, Joey. Too bad it was the day I died, mm-hmm. And then they go back.
Mm-hmm.
See, Coke. There's
Coke Zero.
Coke.
Yep,
yeah.
More Coke in the Times Square-ish.
Cross me, and you'll have no place to hide anymore.
So they're just playing you the beginning of a truncated version of the beginning of the movie.
Yes. Like, I think the actress might be, like, early mid-20s, but she's definitely playing, like, a child.
Yeah, right? She's playing a small child.
Yeah, oh, those are the four punches that she threw in the entire movie. I hope
it
you enjoyed
is,
them in
yeah.
the trailer.
There's her backflip.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with her?
And when they did think that she had, like, a virus in her, I'm like, so this is a Hattie Shaw thing, right?
Same.
Where it's like, you know.
Yep.
Oh,
there's
and they're
the,
like...
There's the make-out.
Yeah.
Almost make-out. Boom. See, here we go. Oh, good. We just ruined the whole... Okay.
Okay, sure.
You're risking your life for me. Why?
Because I was paid to.
He doesn't answer, and the movie doesn't answer either, because the movie doesn't know.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was on brand. The trailer wasn't, like, wasn't surprising to me as somebody has seen the movie.
Yeah, I can see, we'll get to the Letterboxd game in a second, but I can see people being like, that movie blew my mind. Like, that looks pretty interesting, let me go see it, and like, wow, that really made me think about some things. Like with the Umlaut guy or whatever, it was just like, yeah, you know, like that really... Like, I think they're, like, what frustrates me is that, like, this could have been really, really cool and interesting because, like, there's cool ideas and just, like, it's just, whether it's the production or the editing or whatever. And, like, again, keeping in mind, we watch the version that makes more sense.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So, ugh. All right. Letterboxd game. Mad Max Fury Road, 1.4 million times logged. Babylon AD, 2008, directed by Matthew Kasovitz. Tagline, kill or be killed. Starring Vin Diesel, Michelle Yeoh, and Melanie Thierry, has been seen by how many people?
I have no fucking idea. I absolutely have no idea.
That means you're going to get it right, because that's how this works.
It's Michelle Yeoh, 2008, you said?
Mm-hmm.
People liked his other movie, this director. I'm going to go 22,000.
You are wildly close. It's 24,000. 24,000 people. Average rating of 2.3, a most common, a 2, then a 2.5, then a 3. Our friend of the show, Haley Gerbes, gave it 3 stars, so she liked it. Average rating of 2.3, though. How many out of those 24,000 have this in their top four favorite films of all time?
Three.
The number is too high.
Two?
The number is still too high.
One.
You are correct. One person has this in their top four. It's this guy, Gaggio. But I went to his account, or their account, I don't know, and their top four has Babylon AD, the original Power Rangers movie from 1995, and two movies I've never heard of
before. Ivan Ooze one?
Yes, the Ivan Ooze one, yes.
Perfect. Oh, that's a really good one. I like that movie.
So instead, we are going to go to Sammy Ed, whose picture on Letterboxd is Tom Brady. That picture of Tom Brady, like, oh, you definitely have liposuction because his, like, cheeks are hollowed inside.
Oh, from, like right before he retired, like, last year? Yeah.
Because Sammy Ed did
not
have...
Well, you know what it is? It's that fucking drug that they all take now.
Oh. Well, remember? You know, there's also, like, the cheek scooping, or I don't know what it's called, but, like, they
there's
people,
that,
like...
but I think that it's... I think that he's probably on that fucking... What is the drug that's, like, not for... It's for, like, diabetes or something. It's... Remember? Do you know about this?
No.
They're all on, like, some wacky... Yeah, there's, like, a drug that's, like, for something... That's like an actual thing, and like everybody in Hollywood has been taking it, and that's why like all of these people have that, like, it's Ozempic for like diabetes, and like you have all of these celebrities now, and you see them, and like it like you lose fat specifically in your face too.
Because there's also the buccal fat, B-U-C-C-A-L fat removal, where they take like a little like grape sized fat out of each of your cheeks.
Yeah, there's
and
that.
It, like,
but
it hollows you out, and the people are like, we have no idea what this does long term. Like, why are people doing this?
Yeah. But this Ozempic thing is like a trend, and like somebody caught on to it, and like a bunch of people in Hollywood like have been getting prescribed it, even though they don't have whatever it is, because it like suppresses your appetite, and like, but like the side effect is it makes your face all like fucking shrunken in like that. So now that you said this, is the first time I connected that maybe Tom Brady's on that.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Kissing his son on the lips and eating strawberries now.
Kissing Robert Kraft on the lips. Kissing his dad on the lips.
He loves love, man. Let him be.
Kissing new models on the lips. Yeah, exactly.
So Sammy Ed gave Babylon AD 5 stars. They said, wild. So extremely my jam. Children of Men, but it's also XXX, and it has Michelle Yeoh. If you
there
said
you go.
That sentence to me, I'd be like, this movie sounds like it's awesome. Kazi throws out wacky sci-fi concepts in 2008 action with impressive variety, remarkably cohesive production design, and strong VFX for the era, except for Vin Diesel's height of 2008 fashion at the end of the movie, which only makes it better. Lavish schlock. I loved it. I mean, honestly, that's a very fair review. I don't think this is a great movie, but like the way that they describe it, it's like, yeah, that all makes sense. Like that sounds
it
like
tracks.
A wonderful description of a movie I would love to see.
Yes. You chose very positive attributes of it that all do make sense. I also, now that they brought up the 90s, Vin does have some weird fucking fashion choices in this movie.
Yeah.
Like at some points it's like futuristic and cool, like when he has this like weird like vest with straps on it when he goes into the fight club dungeon, whatever. Like that thing's fucking awesome. But then like he comes out and he looks like he's like just wearing like pants that are way too big and a t-shirt, and like he like it, like the costume designer just like walked out like at the end of the movie is what it felt like to me. I was like, what happened here that his like pants are so baggy in this like futuristic world? I don't know either.
But Sammy doesn't even have a great top four that we can really do. Their number two is Naked Lunch, which is a movie that I've wanted to see for a while. It's a David Cronenberg movie.
I would have never gotten that.
Yeah, but numbers, oh boy. 1, 3, and 4. Number one is a movie that we've done for this podcast in the classic car movies lap.
Vanishing Point.
No, I will say that it's not, you don't think of cars when you think of this movie.
Paris, Texas.
Did we do that? I did that. Do that for that. I forgot that lap, but yeah, no, but you're on the right track. I will say the car of note in the movie is the 6000 Sucks. 6000 SUX.
Oh, Not Strange Days. The other one that you picked that's a cult movie classic, like something about, not Millennium something. I know what it is. It's that movie that's like the Apocalypse 1-2. Yes, because I can see the car and oh fuck, what's it called?
I don't know what movie you're talking about. I don't think we're thinking about the same movie. What? I'm trying to think of what your movie is.
Oh, now. RoboCop.
RoboCop. Yeah.
No, I'm not thinking about RoboCop. I'm thinking about the other. Thank you. I got to RoboCop, but I was thinking about the movie that you told me about that we watched that I really liked, but I never remember the name of it. The cult movie that
we did for this podcast.
Seen. I don't think we did it for a podcast. You just recommended it, and I watched it and really liked it too.
Cult movie like Strange Days.
Yeah, it's like an action movie, and you were like, "Oh, you need to watch this," and like I was like, "I've never heard of this before." And
Miracle Mile.
Miracle Mile. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. No, I said Millennium. I had an M in there. I knew I was
got
around it.
Yes.
Okay.
No, that movie rules. Yes. Okay. Yes. Cool. Okay. Yes. RoboCop is Sammy's number one. Number four stars your boy R. Patz in the movie that kind of captured everyone's imagination. Like, oh, this kid can actually really act.
Good Times.
Mm-hmm. Good Times, singular. Yep. And then number three.
I like Good Time, and I recommend it. Everybody that was like pissy about R. Patz being in the Batman, I was like, have you seen Good Time? And they were like, I don't know what that is. I was like, yeah. Exactly. Shut the fuck up. Like, you didn't know. And then, like, you know, the Batman comes out, and everybody's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. We fucking knew he was a good actor. He was just in Twilight. Like, that's not his fault. Like,
yeah. And he's got fuck you money because of Twilight. And then number three on Sammy's list. I don't know that we've talked about this on here. It's a wild movie. It's a very bad movie.
Okay.
It stars Hugh Jackman. It's a movie that one day maybe Mike and Dan will cover on Monster Pod, but it came out in the last 20 years. Starring Hugh Jackman that Monster Pod could cover. Wild movie. Pretty big flop.
I don't know. Of
Kate Beckinsale, the female lead in this movie.
He likes doing so much theatery shit. Is it like...
One person I follow, Grace Spellman on Letterboxd, calls it the horniest movie she's ever seen. She gave it one star.
The horniest movie she's ever... Have I seen this movie?
I have no idea. I mean, you've definitely heard of it. I don't know if you've seen it, but
200,000
people know. 2004, before Cats. Way before Cats. The one name they all fear.
So who's like the vampire killer guy? Fuck, what's the name of the vampire killer?
Famed monster slayer blank is dispatched to Transylvania to assist the last of the Valerius bloodline in
defeating Helsing.
Van Helsing.
Okay, I got it.
Where I watched that movie, my entire review was just what? So
I think I saw that movie in theaters and possibly with my mom.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that movie. Very popular movie. Very weird, not good movie, but fun, sort of.
I have no recollection of anything that happened in it. I remember just being like dark and blue, which I mean tracks, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't actually remember Hugh Jackman was Van Helsing.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman is Van Helsing.
Okay.
So RoboCop, Naked Lunch, Van Helsing, and Good Time, and The Right Idea About Babylon ID. So shout out to Sammy Ed, whose description is elf off.
That review for this movie, for Babylon ID, dead on. Oh, something else I wanted to say. I did Google Babylon ID, like, I forget why. I was like, maybe trying to figure out what the different, something. And, like, there was an article from 2021 saying that Vin would really like to turn Babylon AD into a franchise.
Of course. Of course.
And I was like, wow, this makes so much sense. Even after, now, it's even fucking weirder. Do you tell me Vin was like, am I even in this movie? What happened?
Yeah.
And the director hated it and hated him and hated the movie and Fox hated everybody. And then Vin goes, you know what? That could be a franchise, though. he's trying so hard.
He really wants to find something to hook his teeth into, sink his claws into, right?
And he's all the time about Tom Cruise, but, like, I think Vin is the hardest working man trying to find a second franchise. Like, he's working so hard to find one that, like, hits.
I feel like Vin is better at it, even though...
He's Tom closer.
Tom Cruise's movies are better, but I don't know. It's wild. It's weird.
Vin's getting close. Like, XXX, like, almost. There's three of them. Like,
Pitch Black, almost. I mean, Guardians isn't really his thing, but Guardians is success. It is weird, though. He really wants that thing.
he wants like the third fucking franchise, and he wants it to be a sci-fi thing where he could just be, you know, essentially like Van Helsing of whatever sci-fi world that he draws up. That's what he wants, and he can't just get the sci-fi one to hit yet.
I will say I'm following Sammy Ed now on Letterboxd because Sammy Ed has 9 lists. They have one called Evanescence Core, which they call an action subgenre that held a Beretta in a leather glove to the wallet of goth teens. That is movies like The Matrix and Sleepy Hollow and Boondock Saints.
Okay,
then they
fair.
Have
That's a good
proto
list.
Evanescence Core, which is Evanescence Core before The Matrix. Then they have post Evanescence Core. Like, I just think that like it's. I don't understand. There's the Cruise. There's Betamax Murders. Like, Sammy Ed's got like wild takes on things, and I'm interested to learn more about
their brain. Yeah,
about their brain. They're still using Letterboxd. They only have 10 followers, so they'll definitely see that I follow them. I don't know, but yeah. So shout out to Sammy Ed. That's what a find.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Anyway, Babylon AD. Also, not only shout out to Sammy Ed, but shout out to Cassie Wilson, Ben Milliman, Nick Burris, Alex Ellen, and Justin Kleiman, and Brian Rodriguez of High School Slumber Party, Wes Hampton, Jerry Robinson, Dan the Duke, Hayden Renato, D. Donato, Michael McGann, Lane Middleton, Lindsay Lewandowski, Nate Milton of the Kings of Sport, Jason Rainey, Tom Price, Mike Gallier, Josh Buckley of Whole Lot of Wolves, Michael Moser, and Jessica Collins, a.k.a. Montez. I was thinking as I was editing the Young Rock episode that I was like, you know that promo that we talked about him cutting, like the makes me sick. I was thinking about like maybe like the Jessica Collins, aka Montez. Like her name at the end there goes really well. The Montez.
I think so too. You need to. That one's really fun. Oh man! And now I just want to go watch more rock.
Simo, remember from past guest of the show, commented on Instagram that he said like he and his wife had watched the new season 20 times. I was like, Jesus. But like they love that show. They were very excited that we covered it. So,
oh cool.
Yeah, but apparently they like that's just like what they just put on like in the background or whatever. Like, you know, Wes talks about like, you know, when Mrs. Wes puts stuff on while she's baking, it just seems like they just always have Young Rock playing, which, you know, there's worse stuff for sure.
Like that's definitely worse stuff goes for down. Sure. And if I had like kids in my house, like if it was like Baby Shark on loop or Young Rock, I'm going to take Young Rock every time, right?
For
like, it's like,
sure.
Yeah, like, no stupid songs that get stuck in your head. Like, it has, like, a story, but it's also gentle and, like, familial and moral. Yep. Fine with it.
Our next episode in the main feed is our Life in the Fast Lane number 10, Double Digits, Too Fast, Too Furious, Minute 85. Joe, I'm going to give you the 1 week heads up. It's the scramble. If you want to save your time and your sanity next week, start doing some prep work now because we're scrambling next week.
Okay, scrambling.
Between now and then, though, we have a bonus episode. We have Nick Burris' patron pick. It is a Vin Diesel movie that we have not seen, that I have not seen at least, we've not covered yet. A Man Apart from 2003.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I've never seen it. Nope.
After that, we have Wes's, speaking of Wes and Mrs. Wes, we have Wes's bonus episode of Repo Men. Not Repo Man, Repo Men. Repo Men from 2010. Two different movies. I don't think they're connected. But we have two bonus episodes coming out really soon, A Man Apart and Repo Men. But on the main feed, Life in the Fast Lane, and then the tune-up. And then we're going to go into Fast 10 prep, because that brings us into May. We got a lot of stuff planned for that. But, you know, April has some bonus episodes coming up. So go on toofast2forever.com to get those. Those are going to be bonus episodes 35 and 36. Like, there's so much out there that, like, you'll never hear anywhere else. So go do that thing at toofast2forever.com. And for
maybe
all
some,
things.
Maybe some surprises in the Patreon, too.
Maybe some surprises.
Maybe some very serious surprises that you might want to have listened to.
That some people might have been like, did they know about that? And it's like, the answer is more complicated than you know.
Hey. Spoilers.
Anyway.
We've had the same question from a lot of you. And the answer is more complicated than you know.
For all things secrets and surprises, you go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/toofast2forever, or at toofast2forever on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. Email us, family@cageclub.me. Check out our Patreon page with secrets and surprises at toofast2forever.com and our store at cageclub.me/shop. And come back next time on the main feed for the Life in the Fast Lane, and before then on the Patreon for A Man Apart. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too.
And we will tell you all about it
when we see